Thank you, Jim. Y'all are in for an exceptional treat, I promise you. Y'all are in for an exceptional treat, and you don't realize it yet, but it won't take long to realize that some people are very comfortable behind a podium and some are not. And Brandon is somebody that just feeds off people and blessing people and helping people and sharing his story. And I get the privilege to introduce him. He's from Mobile, one of us. He went to Davison High School. He started realizing he's a little bigger and a little faster and stronger than most kids. In his junior year, he realized that he possibly had a possibility of going to college, and then he started thinking about the pros as a high school kid. He started dreaming, and he had kind of goofed off up until his junior year. He realized with he and his mom that he could do something great and possibly be something great and do some neat things in life. So he set out a goal for the NFL as a very young boy and started becoming the hardest worker on the team. And he developed a work ethic, and I know Brandon's work ethic because he has a professional car cleaning business. He'll come to your home and all my kids will bring their cars and he'll wash them, wax them, and do their thing and clean your driveway and all that. He's got these trucks that come in and do it and take off. And he's a hard worker in all areas of his life. But he ended up earning a full scholarship to Clemson. And there, he and Dabo Sweeney, the head coach, became very good friends. In fact, Dabo is on his speed dial, and Dabo has Brandon come up and speak every year to his football team to get him prepared for the new season. It's been kind of a ritual he's done year after year. And Brandon's asked to speak all over the country. He gets honorariums everywhere he goes except here. He's doing this out of the blessings of his heart. He wants to share what Jesus Christ has done in his life. I don't want to tell his story, but Brandon did some incredible things his short time in college. First of all, he graduated in 3 years. I crammed 4 years into six, but he did it in 3 years. And he got his degree there with honors. He became an academic All-American, and he became an All-American linebacker, NCAA. That's very unusual to have both of those. His grandma, which meant a lot to him, got sick, and he transferred from Clemson after 3 years. And by the way, when he was at Clemson, they played Alabama. That was his freshman year, and he had more. It's a record. Nobody's ever made that many tackles against Alabama for one man to do that, and he did 18 tackles in one game his freshman year. And that put him on the map, and that got him to start his freshman, sophomore, and junior year. But he graduated. And in his junior year, he had the opportunity to play in the NFL. And he's going to tell you during the draft what happened. And it's one thing to have your whole life focused that you know you're going to be in the NFL and then make a life-changing decision, and he'll share that with you, and you're going to want to hear it. So guys, even though he played ball at Clemson, he's one of us. Y'all give Brandon May a very warm handshake. Come on, Brandon.
Good afternoon, guys. All right, as AJ said, I'm big on, this is new for me with the podium, I'm big on feeding off the energy of the crowd, so you guys got to lock in and help me out today. I'm just blessed to be here today. About 48 hours ago, I was under anesthesia and getting a scope put down my throat and trying to figure out what's going on in my throat. And I told my mom, I said, without a shadow of a doubt, I'll be here today speaking no matter what they say. So I'm here. I'm available. I would like to express my gratitude to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, for giving me this opportunity and the platform now to share my story and also to bless so many people. Mr. Jim, for believing in me, bringing me in. Pastor Cross, for giving me this opportunity to share with you guys today. And I'm just excited to hear what he got to say. You know, that feeling when you just decrease yourself and begin to let him just flow. So if you will, bow your heads with me. It's every time I go in, I have to make sure that I be obedient. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you. I thank you for the opportunity to share once again. I thank you, Lord, for using me as a vessel, Lord Jesus. Your will, not my will, be done, Lord. I pray that you speak, you use me as your puppet, Lord Jesus. Allow me to be able to speak with conviction, Lord Jesus. Allow somebody to think different, operate different. Don't let them leave here the same way that they came, Lord. And we just give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor, Lord Jesus, for this opportunity today. In Jesus' name, amen. So guys, as Pastor Cross was telling my story of the accolades, I began to go into the dark place and begin to just think about some of the things that God has done for me. It's not about the accolades and what I have accomplished, because I know at the end of the day that it was all him and none of me. And I began to think about those days growing up. I grew up in Pritchard, Alabama, stayed in a two-bedroom house with 15 people. On any given night, man, we was finding a way to put bread and water together to make a meal, and finding a way to just make it through the night. Gunshots, you guys know the story about, you know, that area. And my mom and my grandma and my stepdad, because my dad was killed when I was 4 years old, they just came and huddled up basically and said, you know, we're going to raise some good kids. I got three sisters, and they just made up their mind that they was going to get us out the hood. No matter how hard it is, how long it take, they was going to get us out of that. So I remember, at a very young age, my mom introduced me, well, my stepdad introduced me to the game of football. And I'm like, man, for real, if this football not going to get us out of here, I'm not really too much interested in it. I got to find a way. You know, I see the people on the corner, and I see them pushing drugs and moving drugs all over the way. So I started thinking that was the way. That was the way I was going to do the fast life. But some kind of way, he convinced me that this game of football would get me and my family out the hood. And I went into the kitchen at a very young age. Little bitty small kitchen. You go in, you back out. It's that fast. And I told my mom, I tugged on, I said, Mom, I said, when I make it to the NFL, I said, you'll never want for nothing. And she looked at me, you know, Mom gonna believe in you. So she believed in me, but she had a little doubt in her mind, like, kid, for real, do you know what we going through? Like, ain't nobody just making it up out of here. But she believed, and I began to work with my stepdad countless hours, every single day, chasing this goal to get to the NFL, because my family would never want for nothing. This is the thing that's going to take care of me. Forget anything else. This is the thing that's going to take care of me. I remember my aunt sending me down, and she said, what you have to have a spiritual relationship with Christ. And I'm like, Christ, for real? Nah, brother said, football is going to get me there. So, Christ, I'm not really worried about Christ. I'll meet him later on. Once I get to the NFL, once I get the money, I'll meet him then. At that point, we'll have a relationship then. And so, guys, at that point, I started just thinking to myself, the game of football, this is going to get me here. Got the opportunity, went to Clemson University, but before that, I went to Davidson High School here in Mobile. Got my Warriors in the house. I went to Davidson High School here in Mobile. I was a two-star recruit. Never had an opportunity to play. Pretty much rode the bench, got in on brush-up time when it was like 70 to 7, I got in. And I just worked hard, man. I got myself there my senior year and started just dialing in and got the scholarship to Clemson University. Make a long story short, was All-American, as AJ said, and played for Coach Tommy Ball and also for Dabo Sweeney. But guys, when I got there, I was a little bitty Brandon May. Two-bedroom house, 15 people. I was a little two-star guy. And some kind of way, after that first year, I became an All-American. And I started thinking to myself, I'm powerful now. You know, I can go anywhere in Clemson, and they're going to give me free food. I can go here, and this is going to happen. I can go here, and this is going to happen. I'm always going to have the up. So I began to use my power, the power that I had. Not thinking about a relationship with Christ at this point. I ain't worrying about it. Like I said, football is going to get me there. And so I began to use my powers, and I'm going to be real with you. I stayed in a three-bedroom condo by myself, and I would have a lady come in, I would have a lady go out. I would have a lady come in, I would have a lady go out. And I want to be real with you guys, because there's a lot of watered-down stuff going on out there, and I want y'all to know the truth. I was going in and out, using my powers to misuse everything that God was blessing me with. So I played my junior year, and I had my coach set me down, and Brandon, if you finish this year, you have the opportunity to be a multimillionaire. You have a second-round grade in the NFL draft. You have a good combine. You're going the first round of the draft. I'm like, yes, there you go. I told my mom that when I make it to the NFL, she'll never want for nothing. So I'm good. All I got to do is complete this year. Well, guys, my grandma got congestive heart failure. I had to make a decision. Either I go to the NFL or do I transfer my senior year to play at Mississippi State, get closer to home? I made the decision to transfer because it's not about money at that point. It's about being with my grandma. Got the camp there at Mississippi State, not thinking about a relationship with Christ at all. Don't give me Christ. I'm good. Even though my aunts and my uncles and my cousins and everybody are ministers and they're pastors, and they sat me down and we went through the sinner's prayer, we went through all this stuff, and I told them, you know, I'm saved, and I started telling people I'm saved, but my life did not match what I was saying. There's some people right now that's struggling with that. They saying one thing, but their life is not matching what they're saying. So I would go to all the FCA events. I would go to the meet, the players meet. We had a players meet at Clemson where we would go in there. We would do Bible study. We had about 10 guys in there. We had C.J. Spiller. We had Daquan Bowers. We had all these top NFL draft pick guys. And we would sit in this room, and I would go there just to let people see my face because I was telling people that I was saved. So I have to go there and convince people that I'm saved. They have to see my face. They have to see that I'm at all these prayer meetings. And then I would go home and the same thing would happen. This woman would come in, this woman would go out. I just finished playing at the University of Alabama. I played against Florida State. I'd have looked Nick Saban in the eye and said, Coach, run it in this hole. I'm telling you right now, you don't want to do that, Coach. I'm going to make you pay for it. I'd have looked at Cam Newton, and he'd have made his little bubble and do his little spin and look at you and say, hey, you better bring it harder next time. I'd have been to the top. I've been there where everybody was screaming my name, 80,000 people, 90,000 people in the Georgia Dome, Alabama, Florida State, Maryland, all these big Division I teams. I'd have played against everybody. They cheer my name and they write articles about me and filling me up. It's all about Brandon May. He don't need Christ because I read the articles. And so guys, as I got to Mississippi State, I began to think to myself, if I can just find a way to make it through this year, your boy's a multi-millionaire. I can come back to Mobile and do all kinds of investing and take over. Like I had created this plan for myself. I have created what I wanted the end to look like. And so I get into my first camp and the coach Dan Mullen, he huddled up all the guys. We're going to welcome Brandon May into the SEC. This is the big, bad, tough SEC. We're going to welcome him in. He's been playing in the ACC. So they line up their biggest fullback. His name is Shumpert. They said, Shumpert, you go and you do what you're supposed to do. Shumpert had like a snotty-looking nose. He looked me in his eyes. He looked me in my eyes, and he, I don't know what he was doing. I guess he was dialing me up. Grizz, you maybe can tell me about it when they dial people up. And my man looked me in the eyes, and he came towards me, and pow! Like a collision just took place, and they didn't know what was going on. And they were screaming and hollering. They were still standing at the spot, which Shumpert body was there at that point on the ground, and I had welcomed him to the SEC. And so, guys, the next practice, by that point, Coach Mullen said, all right, you sit down. You have proved your point. You are a starter in the SEC. So we get to, the next day or the second day, I begin to think to myself, all right, I don't got to practice no more. I'm good. Coach called me in. It's special teams. They just want me to get some reps in. I didn't play much special teams at Clemson. I was a 3-year starter there. So I made a step back, guys, and pow, my Achilles made a popping noise. And it was like fluid pushed up towards my calf muscle. I really didn't know what was going on at the time. I was like shaking it off, like, nah, this can't happen to me. Not the big, bad, mighty Brandon May. This can't happen to me at this point. I told my mom, when I make it to the NFL, she'll never want for nothing. So this can't happen at this point. Start shaking it off, went in the training room, talked to the trainers. They started going back and forth. They huddled up, went into the office. And as they came out, I just thought to myself, all right, this is just going to say, all right, you just got a little boo-boo. Let's get you taped up. And you know the trainers, their job is to get you back on the field. They still said I just had a little boo-boo. So I kept going, got back to practice the next day, kept grinding, kept putting in the work. And come to find out, guys, make a long story short, I had to have Achilles reconstructive surgery when it was all said and done. And my Achilles basically dry-rotted in the inside, had nothing to do with the step back. And if you will wait a second, I'll tell you what was taking place. So guys, after that, we got to the night of the NFL draft. And this is when my life changed. So you got to understand something. Sometimes we make a mistake. We get caught up in the contract. Yeah, we get caught up in the contract telling people, all right, I'm saved. We start going to all these events and our life don't match it. We get caught up in the contract. The contract allows you to compromise. It's the difference between a contract and a covenant. And I got to that point in my life, guys, on the NFL draft night where I went from contract to covenant. It was a transition. See, I've been telling people since I was young, because uncles and all these people are pastors and ministers, that I'm saved, that I'm living this type of life, but my life was not matching that life. I was living in that contract moment. In that contract moment, guys, you compromise every single thing. And then I switched over to covenant the night of the draft. So we're sitting in the room. It's the NFL draft. I'm there with my family. Everybody's gathered around. Still at this point, just my body of work is going to get me drafted. That's what I'm believing in my mind. Like, no matter what happened tonight, I'm still going to get drafted. So my family's in there. Everybody's excited. My mom looking over. She like, yeah. She thinking in her head, probably. Yeah, which Range Rover do I want? Which BMW? Yep, call that person. She probably thinking in her head the whole time, my son is drafted. Everything is going to become a reality. So I'm sitting there, and the first round of the draft goes. I knew my name wasn't going to be called in the first round because of the injury, and I didn't have quite the season that I wanted. The second round of the draft comes. The third round comes. The fourth, the fifth. I begin to look at my mom. I start thinking in my head, man, God, dog, I let my mom down. This was a covenant deal when I told her that I was going to make it to the NFL and she never want for nothing. So it has to happen. The fifth round, the sixth round, and the seventh round of the draft comes. So I looked at my mom. I'm talking about hurt. Somebody here may be going through pain where you hurt, where you got to go to your job. You got to put on like a front, but for real, in the inside, you hurt. As a man, you hurt. You're going through things in the inside. You're struggling with certain things that people don't know about. You may be hurt. So I'm looking at her and I'm hurt. I'm bitter, man. I'm mad at God. I'm mad at my mom. I'm mad at everybody in my freaking family. And I remember standing in the yard and I told my mom, I said, I hate you. It was so funny because the weather matched what was going on. It was dark. It was gloomy. And I looked at my mom and I looked at my stepdad and I said, how can you put me in this to break my heart? They put me in the game of football to get me out the hood. How can you put me in this to break my heart? How can you do this to me? I'm looking at the same man that stepped into my life after my dad was shot down at 4 years old, when I was 4 years old, and he was shot down in a puddle of blood. And my stepdad stepped into my life and took me as his own. I said, I hate you guys. If you don't get nothing else, you got to get what I'm saying today. So I remember getting in the car. I remember driving on the bridge. I drove by my middle school, drove by my high school. I remember and reflected back when the teacher was saying, what do you want to be when you grow up? Said, I think I'm, NFL for me. I'm going to be in the NFL. I reflect back in high school when the coaches said, you'll be nothing. You'll be a high school dropout. You'll sell dope and you'll eventually get killed. I reflect back on those memories as I drive up the bridge. I said, I let my mom down, guys. I let every family member I had, I let them down. I'm the one that's supposed to rescue them. So I get to the bridge. And I begin to look out as I'm crying and I'm bitter and I'm just thinking to myself, how can I do this? How can I let him down? I had no connection with Christ at this time. It was all about football. My mom had bought me a 2007 Dodge Charger. And I pressed the gas pedal to drive it off the bridge and my car cuts off. So I'm sitting at this point, I'm like, nah, ain't nothing wrong with this car. Why I'm not at the bottom of the ocean right now? And I'm just crying in tears. I'm crying in tears. And God began to minister to me. That's more than I require of you. The football was nothing but a setup for you. I have grace that I have stored upon you and not even you can take it from me. And so I sat in that car, guys, and I began to cry and I began to beat the steering wheel and I'm going crazy and I'm like, God, what now? This is all I know, the game of football. Is it something that you're holding on to right now that's bigger than Christ? Is it your business? Is it a car? Is it clothes? Is it something that you're holding on to? Some materialistic thing that you're holding on to right now that you're thinking about every single day? You ain't thinking about your wife. You ain't thinking about your kids, but you're holding on to this. You're holding on. Is it something that you're holding on to? I was holding on to the game of football. And I remember going back home and the next day I got a call from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers and I went there. And I got ready and got all my equipment and I'm like, yes, I finally made it to the NFL. I still got this opportunity, guys. I still got a chance to trial for the NFL. And God said, no, no, no. I'm just trying to set you up. It was bigger than you, Brandon, May, the whole time. You thought when you was in that three-bedroom house, you thought going in and going out, women going in and going out, you thought that was really what I was doing for you? Are you crazy? It's something I have bigger for you. And so I remember the trainers coming in and they looked at my Achilles and they found out I had to have the reconstructive surgery, and we went back to Mobile and I just had a peace, man. You ever been to that point in life where you just have a peace that surpassed all understanding? It just fall upon you. I just had a peace about the situation, and I sat right there and I went through this post-traumatic stress phase, and I was going through all this stuff, but then at the same time, God was just speaking to me. It was at the darkest points of my life where I gained a relationship with Christ, and it became a covenant and not a contract. So everything I do now, I'm living for the glory of God. So every time I go out, business, I don't care what it is, I got to glorify God, because I don't know when my last day is, and I got to be serious about my Father's business. I got to be serious about my Father's business every single day. So you, as you listen to me, I want you to think about that. Or I'm living a life that's serious about my Father's business, or I'm just putting on for everybody else. Because when it's all said and done, I begin to get peace this past year when my grandma passed. I begin to get peace this last year when my aunt passed. I begin to get peace this last year when my uncle passed. I begin to get peace 2 years ago when I gambled all my money away when I was selling construction. I begin to get peace after that because God said, I'm setting you up for something greater. And business been going up. My life been going up. Nothing matter. Money don't matter. Car don't matter. House don't matter. If I can glorify God, I know at the end of the day that I'm living the right life. I know that I'm living under covenant. Are you on a covenant? Are you in contract? So guys, I begin to write. I never write books. I don't even like reading books. And I wrote a book, and the book began to sell all over the place. And they would call me in to speak to this sports team. They would call me in to speak to this sales team. And things started to happen for me. The reason why I'm telling you guys this story, guys, is because I want you to understand that sometimes we don't even know it. So I hope I bring awareness to your life that you may be just living under a contract agreement. And one thing I noticed about contracts, and y'all businessmen, I noticed about contracts, contracts can be broken. But it's something about when me and my boy back in the days, Terrence, we would do this thing, you know, old school, we would make a cut, and my man would make a cut for him, we'll put our arms together. It was a covenant, like a covenant type of deal. When you stand at the altar and you look at your wife and you make a covenant, I challenge you to make a covenant with Christ. I challenge you to decrease everything, materialistic things, and make a covenant with Christ. I was sitting with AJ last week over at Panera Bread, and what's your name again?
Paul.
Paul. Paul came in, and Paul began to share his story and told me a couple of things, and I started thinking about it. I started thinking about the three things that he said, and that's exactly what happened in my life. It was a transitional shift that took place in my life that got me to the point where I am right now, that nothing else mattered but my covenant relationship with Christ. That's why I told Mr. Jim, get me in the room, because I just want to speak to the guys. If I can just touch one person, I'm not trying to come in and touch the mass. If I can touch one person, I know that you'll treat your wife a little bit different. I know you'll treat your kids a little bit different. I know that you'll treat your employees a little bit different. So I just want to touch one person. And so he said three things that stood out to me. He said, I ask myself, who am I? Who am I? Who are you? I got to the point like the Slim Shady back in the days, the Eminem song, with a real Brandon May, please stand up, because this not me. This not me. This life that I'm living, it don't match what I've been taught. So I had to ask myself, who are you, Brandon May? Will you please stand up, the real Brandon May? So who are you? And I begin to discover, guys, that Jesus lived in me. He lives in me. It's a scripture that I came across, Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life which I now live in, the flesh I live in by faith of the Son of God who lived in me and give himself for me. Man, that blew my mind, guys. That blew my mind. So you mean to tell me that a guy died for me? I heard my aunt say this, but you mean to tell me that a guy died for me? I was literally in the pits of hell. My sisters was buying me meals from McDonald's, $2 specials. I was at the bottom. I went from the top NFL, top linebacker, top five in the country, to being at the pits. And the only thing I could think about at this moment, who are you, Brandon? Who are you? And I discovered that Christ lived inside of me. So I need you to know that he lives inside of you. No matter what you've been through in your life, no matter what you're going through right now, he lives inside of you. He has given us grace and mercies to keep going. The second thing, what's my purpose? The saddest thing and the saddest place for a man to be at in life, and I'm saying this at 28 years old, is to not know your purpose. Not know your why. I'm not talking about in business. I'm talking about on some spiritual stuff. Not know your purpose, what you've been assigned to this earth to do. And God shook me up. He said, no, you will not hit another fullback. You will not get another concussion. I don't care if it's Florida State. I don't care if it's who, Cam Newton. I don't care who it is. I have discovered you since birth for a designed purpose. And that's to speak all across this country. That's to share my message. So I grab the hold to the purpose that God has given me. So what's your purpose? Why do you do it? I started thinking about Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans and the thoughts that I have for you. I wrote it down wrong, but I know the plans that I have for you. A plan for you to prosper and bring you to expectancy end. So think about that, guys. That brought me back. That brought me back, man. He knew since birth. He knew the end. Sometimes we make the mistake and we put a period where God want to put a comma at. That's where I was in life. I was getting ready to drive off the bridge, commit suicide, because I didn't have a real personal covenant relationship with Christ. I was getting ready to just do it because I didn't have nothing to stand on. I was at the bottom of the ocean, basically. But what I discovered, guys, and I was telling AJ, at the bottom of that ocean, it's a rock. And that's the rock. That's the rock you're supposed to stand on. That's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So you can be at the bottom, but I dare you to stand on that rock. I started discovering my purpose, guys. That's how I got to the point that I am right now. The last one, what can I do to bring glory to the kingdom? The worst thing for a man to do is to come through this earth and not win a soul and not tell people about the goodness of Christ. That's, man, you haven't lived until you tell people about the goodness of Christ, until it's a mission every single day. You should be able to look at my life almost. I don't got to talk. I can shut up. Bam, shut up. And you should be able to look at me and say, oh yeah, I want what he got. And as men of Christ, that's the point we got to get to. What can I do today in my business? What can I do today in my life? How can I treat my wife? How can I treat my kids? What can I do to bring glory to the kingdom? And that was the point I got to. That was the last phase I got to. When I made it through the post-traumatic stress, when I made it through the injury, when I made it through the thoughts, when I made it through even writing the book, I got to the point where I looked up. I made it up. And I said, what can I do to bring glory to the kingdom? It's one word that stood out to me. And that was servant. You servant, you go serve. You servant. My grandma, as she took her last breath, first off, she blew the whole Providence mind. I got to tell them the story, AJ. I don't know how much time I got. I got to tell you guys the story. It's probably going to be a couple seconds. And, yes, sir. And guys, my grandma, I came back to Mobile. I had the opportunity to basically serve her before she passed, took care of all her home care, even to the last day, the casket, the headstone, all that stuff. I was able to, God put me in position to take care of that. But in those hours, guys, you know, me and my mom was out at the hospital, and they made a pelican care. I don't know if I got any doctors in the room, but they made it pelican care. Basically, mean don't resuscitate at all. And she began to start gagging and stuff, so they started giving her certain meds. And she would lay on this bed, and every single day the doctors would come in. At first, they told us within 48 hours she would be gone. They said that all her vital organs has failed, and she won't make it through 48 hours. And I looked at him and I said, you must don't know what's living in her. She's going to show you something. You're going to become a man of faith today. And so 48 hours went and my grandma was still there. And so we got to like the fifth day. I started at the fifth day. The fifth day, the sixth day, the seventh day, the eighth day, and the doctors come in. Oh my God, what is this? She literally blown out her mind. She's basically saying she's supposed to have been gone. The 10th, the 11th, the 12th, the 13th, the 14th day, the 15th day went by. And then that's when she decided to go on to be with the Lord. But I tell you guys that story, guys, because I want you to understand something. And I need you to think about this. If I cut you open and if I remove all your money, if I remove your business, if I take your home, if I take your car, what will you be made of in the inside? Who are you being inside as a man? As a spiritual warrior, who are you being inside? If I cut you open today, if I just decided, hey, AJ, man, pass me a knife, let's go to the back, let's just cut some of these people open. Who are you being inside? See, they looked at all the diagnosis, everything failed, but they didn't know who she was serving in the inside. They didn't know the connection she had with Christ. She was waiting. She was just waiting for some people to come in. They didn't know that she had a connection. She had a covenant with Christ. So I want to challenge you today, guys. I want to challenge you to make up your mind that every day when you wake up in the morning time, not knowing what that day gonna bring, God forbid that's our last day on earth, what will you be remembered for? As an individual, what will you be remembered for? What kind of Christian man will you really be? Will you be somebody that put on the front, show me your house and I'll show you you? That's what I told somebody the other day. Show me your house. Don't put on the front. Show me your house and I'll show you who you are. So I challenge you to be real man of God. I challenge you to be righteous man of God. I challenge you to just find a way to serve. And not just serve. I'm not talking about a non-profit organization. I got that. But find a way to serve so that God gets the glory. In a manner when you get to the point, it doesn't matter what point it is. The same voice that's speaking to me, that spoke to me at the bottom, he can speak to you right now. That's the same voice. A lot of people make that mistake. They got to wait to the bottom. Let me get to the bottom. And then, God, I need to hear from you. He can speak to you today. Don't let another day go by, guys, without making a commitment that I'm going to live a righteous life, that I'm going to live for Christ. It took me getting all the way to the bottom, broken, failed suicidal attempt, to the point where it's just over. I was lost, guys, mentally. My mom would go to work and she would look in the room and I would write the book and I would never sleep for days. It took me getting to that point where I heard the voice of God say, it's more than I require of you. I put you here for a different assignment. So no matter what happened in business or anything else in life, if I can just hear at the end, well done, my good and faithful servant, I'm complete. So guys, live your life in a manner so you can hear, well done, my good and faithful servant. May God bless you.
Thank you, Brandon.
Praise the Lord for what he said. He's not normal. obviously, the Lord did something in his heart. I know what it's like to have a dream, and so do you. And maybe you didn't accomplish your dream in life, but God gave Brandon a different dream. And I've had the privilege to spend one-on-one time with him on a regular basis, what we call a Paul and Timothy relationship, the older man with the younger man. And just in case y'all can't tell, he's younger than me. he's a young one, and I get to pour what God's given me into him. And he desires to do something for Jesus Christ, and it starts on a daily basis. And I'm so proud to be associated with him. Some of the things he didn't tell you about his background, because he's got a very colorful and interesting background, but as a young boy, he was very well schooled. His mother and his grandmother were women of God, and they raised him properly. And you know, when he went to church, they may get there at 10, but they don't go home at 12 like us. He goes to 2 and 3 o'clock in the afternoon. I mean, that was their church life. He spent way more time in church, and his mama and his grandmother just believed that he was saved based on his association. And I challenge you guys. I know this. I believed, and I convinced anybody that knew AJ that I was a saved man. Based on the fact that I knew a little bit about the Bible, I was a nice guy, I didn't cuss, and I didn't throw fits, but people perceived me as saved as they perceived Brandon. Brandon went to college, and he was very active in Fellowship of Christian Athletes. He was very active in Campus Crusade for Christ, and that's where all the pretty girls were, too. he made all the meetings, but he was a lost man, and he didn't realize he was lost until that day that he realized he couldn't fulfill his promise to his mom and his grandma. And when he didn't get drafted, all he could think about was he failed. And all he could think about was he was in the lowest part in his life, and he thought, no, there's one place lower than that, and that is at the bottom of a river. And we were talking about this the other day, and I would have argued what I'm getting ready to tell you. I didn't believe that Satan can put thoughts in your mind, but he absolutely can. And Satan put thoughts in his mind that you need to end your life. Your life is not turning out like your dream was. And he said, the lowest place I can think of was at the bottom of a river. And he said, if the bridge doesn't kill me when I hit it, this is a brand new car, he said, the water will kill me because I'm locking the doors and I'm going down. And that was his mindset. And when the car, he was speeding up and the car stopped right at the bridge, he knew that was a God thing. And in that car, yes, he was angry and he was mad, but he realized God stopped this car. And I didn't have a dramatic testimony like that. Perhaps you didn't either. But it was right there he realized that he was not a saved man, that if he would have gone off into that water, if he would have killed himself, he would have spent an eternity in hell. Not because he wasn't a nice guy. He was a very nice guy. You'll find him back in his lost days, as in my lost days, I was a pretty nice guy. But it wasn't until that moment that he realized he needed the Lord Jesus Christ, and he called upon him right there. And Brandon put a challenge out there to you guys. He asked you, basically the verse that I could think of is, to examine yourself, to see whether you be in the faith. Prove your own self whether Jesus Christ be in you, unless you be a reprobate. I suggest you examine your life and look back at the time, the day you got saved. You see, there's a day of salvation. Just as there's a day you're born, just as there's a day you die, there's a day you're saved. And he knows that day, and I know the day I got saved. And at the judgment seat of Christ, you will stand before Christ, and that testimony of when you were saved is going to be brought forth to God Almighty, and you need to give your testimony of salvation. You know, I support missionaries in other countries. You know, you go down to Paraguay, there's a very strong religious system there that teaches you, you follow this religious system and you're okay. You do all the things they tell you to do and you're going to make it. And down there, the missionaries are not like America. They have to teach people that you don't trust in a system, you trust in a person and what Christ did at the cross. I support a missionary down in, as I'm sure you guys do, down in South Russia, in Kazakhstan, and Muslims are very, very common there. They know very little about Jesus Christ. And what you tell those guys to get saved are different than what you tell Americans, in the sense that Americans, everybody thinks we're saved. We know about Jesus Christ. I believed in Jesus Christ, and so did Brandon, that he was died, buried, and rose again the third day. I believed all that, and I was lost, and so was he. What he did to get saved, he received that salvation. He'd heard it his whole life, but God showed him he was lost, and he received. That's the key word, guys. When did you receive Jesus Christ? Search your life and think very hard about the time and the day that you realized you were lost. And I promise you, his life changed the day that happened. Can you imagine going back? He went back to his mom, and he was so angry with her and with his grandma, and they saw a change in him, and he told them, Mom and Dad, Mom, I got saved. And he changed. I know the day that I trusted Jesus Christ, I didn't have a dramatic salvation, Brandon. A guy confronted me and started asking me, was I saved? And made me very uncomfortable. And he basically challenged me to think, he gave me the impression he didn't think I was saved. I dare him think that I'm not saved. And I went home and laid in bed and stared at the ceiling and realized I'm a lost man. Oh my gosh, I have never put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. I've just been religious. And I do all the right things. Gentlemen, I think probably perhaps the most quoted verse in Scripture is that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And if you'll call upon Him, and guys, today's May 11th, what an incredible day to trust Christ right where you're sitting. And as Christian Businessmen's Connection is all about, we want to bring the gospel to men. And we want you to search your life and find out when that day was, because you're going to stand before God. It's appointed once unto men to die, and after that, the judgment. And you will be judged for that testimony that you need to have. And I know this, I was full of pride. And I doubt, I was not going to let anyone know that I wasn't saved until the night God laid it on me. I'm a lost man. And all I could see was hell was real to me. And I called upon Him that night, and my life changed forever. And for those of you in this room that may, if there's any fear in your heart right now, that's God tugging at you. There's no, you know, God did not give us a spirit of fear. That fear comes from you. But a power of us, you know, God wants you to have a sound mind, very clear about your testimony of salvation. Brandon's secure in what he does, and he wants to give God glory the rest of his life, and praise God for that. But you, have you called upon the name of the Lord, believing that He died for not some of your sins, but all of them? Do you know you have eternal life? That is the question that's going to be the greatest question you'll ever need to ask. You know, who are you? Are you in Christ? What are you doing for Jesus Christ? Showing up on Sunday morning and occasionally you come here? I don't know. But I hope you're doing more than that. But get serious about Jesus Christ. He'll bless your businesses. He'll do what it takes to have you do ministry. But do something for Christ. I'm going to close in prayer. And when I pray, if God's been tugging on your heart here about the possibility that you could be lost, I am going to strongly suggest that that is God telling you that maybe you're not. And you can call upon Him right now in prayer, and He will save you where you sit. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank You for Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we could never approach You in our righteousness because we're sinners in this flesh. And Father, because of what Your Son did for us, He provided the way at that cross. When He shed His blood, He paid for our sins. And Father, the Bible teaches us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And Father, I pray in the hearts of these men that a man will cry out to You asking them, Lord, save me, knowing that You will. And He will save you to the uttermost. Father, I pray that You'll give that man the confidence to know that if any man is in Christ, he becomes a new creation. Old things pass away, and behold, all things become new. Whatever Brandon has in him, I hope you want it as bad as you want the bread that you eat and the life that you wanted to live. Lord, give all of us the desire to live for Jesus Christ and bring glory and honor to Him in all that we do in business and all that we do in our families. And Lord, straighten us up so we can bring glory to You and not ever hurt the name of Jesus Christ. For it is in His precious name we pray. Amen. Guys, as you leave, on the table back there, on each table there, open up the envelope, and there's some awesome meetings that are available here at the Hank and around the city of Mobile, helping you become a better father biblically, how to become a better husband biblically. I promise you, your wife wants you to go. God wants you to go. It will change your life. Sign up for those things. Your finances. Almost everybody's finances is in a wreck. God gave us principles. There's classes in there that will give you biblical principles that will turn your life around financially. Many of you need to, I know my friend Ron's back there and his son Blake, we taught for many, many years classes to just knowing God in a deeper, more intimate, more personal way, using Scripture to do that. Sign up for those classes, understanding God, you know, in a deeper way. And there's also a check on there. It's a blank check. If you trusted Christ today, go ahead and check that box. And if you're not sure, please make a little note there and say, somebody call me and leave us your phone number, and we'll privately meet with you, call you up and meet with you for coffee, and we'll chat with you, because you need to know that you're saved. And you need to be as confident as your salvation as you are if you're married. You know you're married. Do you know you're saved? You think you are? No, you need to know it. And I was going to use an analogy back there. There's some tracks back there. There's a track called Lost back there in Steps to Peace with God. Everybody here, there's one for everybody here to take if you've never taken one. But if you leave this place here and you don't take that brochure, you know it's yours. You can tell the buddy next to you, hey, there's a booklet back there that they gave me, and it's yours. But if you leave here, we're going to box it up, put it in that black bag, take it home, and you didn't get it. If you leave planet Earth without receiving Christ, you're going to end up in the wrong place for eternity. So examine yourself, guys. Thank you again, and as you leave, let's give Brandon one more round of applause. Brandon.